Part three. Well, Crystal, I shared your that comment that you made. I'd like to just keep going with that, especially that last song and what the Lord was just doing inside of our hearts. You know, the whole purpose of our life is to worship God. To have to be in His presence. You know, how did any of you sense that today?
Yeah. I just like to say that I think it's very interesting that I didn't know it was Valentine's Day for the weekend. You know, like it's Valentine's weekend, but I just felt so blessed to see the love that was in those songs about Valentine.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just, wow. I wasn't cognizant that it was Valentine's weekend, you know, when I asked the Lord to pick these songs.
Yeah. And that's a good thing, because that's God.
I know.
That's beautiful.
It's a blessing.
Yeah. It is. I was cognizant that it was Valentine's weekend. I was saying to Kathy, I just like to have some cuddly words, you know, something nice and cuddly for the Valentine's weekend. I'm sorry.
It was a setup. I knew it.
No, actually, it might not start out sounding that way, but really the flavor of the songs, the things that have been said, really all point to one particular thing that I'm going to be bringing out in the message today. And if you are in Matthew chapter 3, that's where we're going to be starting. It's going to be in verse 11 that we're going to start. Verse 11 says this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Now this is John the Baptist speaking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Wow. Now,
amen.
Doesn't, I mean, just hearing those words, reading those words, listening to those words, doesn't that just kind of grab you?
Yes.
He is going to baptize us, immerse us. Mm-hmm. Baptism deals with being immersed, put under, right? And it says that we're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be baptized in fire.
Yeah.
Fire. Mm-hmm. What's that remind you of, fire? What comes up in your mind when you hear the word fire?
Hot,
right? Hot. Anything else? Anything else? I'm just curious.
Bright.
That's it. Bright.
It's bright for sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well.
There's a peaceful beauty about it too. You know, like when you're sitting in front of a fire and you just relax and it's just like a. There's a peaceful beauty about it.
Also burns up the no good.
Yeah. Right. Burns up the no good stuff. Yeah, we'll be getting to some of this stuff. And verse 12 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That should put a little bit of fear in you, you know, in me. It does. So we see that one of Jesus' purposes is when he came to do he came for salvation, but he came to baptize those that were going to believe in the Holy Spirit, to immerse us in the Holy Spirit. He came to immerse us in fire. Now, that fire, some of what that fire is something that's just very personal, that deals with, and this has come out a lot, we need to change from our old ways. You know? We do. We need to change. And we've had enough messages about it. You've received that. You accept that. You know that it's true. And it's important to talk about, because this is one of the reasons Jesus came, to immerse us in that fire, to change us so that we're more in his likeness. And to be able to embrace that. I don't know how much we really understand that. Just not sure. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to how it says it here. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to start in verse 13. And it says this: every man's work will be made manifest. Everybody know what the word manifest means? Mm-hmm. Able to be seen. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Right? And the fire will test every man's work of what sort it is. People can put on all kinds of religious outward manifestations. The religious community has the religious jargon. We all know the jargon, you know. We know that in certain situations we should say certain things or do certain things. And it's a little different when you're in the fire, because the fire shows you and I what's really going on inside, right? Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Verse 14 says, "If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned," or burned up, "he will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire." And you read this verse, and people have teased, you know, I want to get into heaven. I might smell a little smoky, but I'm going to make it there, you know. And yet this is the thing that we want to see, that we're going to be saved, but it could be everything just isn't hunky-dory, right? You get this? All right, so hopefully you're getting that out of this so far. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm setting up some scripture here and then getting to some other things that will be nicer. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse, where are we starting? 27. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of the things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. He's the one that's working in us to change us. And it is a fiery kind of process. Would you all agree with that?
Yes.
Now, there's another thing that goes on in the area of the age that we're in right now. There's another kind of burning that's happening. It isn't just individual. There is a burning that's taking place with the nations. Can you see that today?
Oh, yeah.
I want you to go to the book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, and go to chapter 3. Because this is the question. Here's the question that I want us to answer. All right? Malachi chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And then here's a question, verse 2. "But who may abide the day of his coming?" What does that mean? Who may abide the day of his coming? Who can make it through it? Who can be alive and remain? Because it's a pretty bad time in the world. I think we have enough to deal with what's going on inside ourselves. But there's lots of other things that are going on outside of ourselves. In the nations. Isn't there? And when you get down to this end time, it says, "Who is able to abide the day of his coming?" So I want to focus on the answer to that question. I want you to go to the book of Daniel. We're going to start with the answer to this in the book of Daniel, because I think this is probably the biggest thing. Daniel chapter 3. This is the chapter about the fiery furnace. Who can abide the day of his coming? You know, later in Malachi it says that, and I'm going to read that later, a little bit later. It says that the day of his coming is like a burning oven. Hot, fiery, and that fire is going to burn up our works, and it's going to burn up the works of the world. There are people that are against our Lord, aren't there? And he who sits in the heavens, he laughs. Because he knows how everything ends. Now, here in chapter 3 of Daniel, you have these three young Hebrew men who were given Babylonian names. Their Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? Now, these three men would not bow down to the idol, to the image, the golden image, right? They weren't going to do it. And they told Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar, he kind of liked them, and he says, oh, now, come on now, you know, just bow down and, you know, just do what everybody else is doing. And they said, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you do to us, if you kill us, then that's all right. We're not going to do it. And we know that God can save us if he wants to. But if he doesn't want to, we'll die. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty fantastic attitude, isn't it? Do you know that there are hundreds of thousands of Christians who have lived out that attitude just within the last year? Mm-hmm. Who have died, not in a fiery furnace, but at the hands of, you know, the murderous groups that are in the world that are Islamic terrorists.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
Yeah, I know, sorry. I guess I just did. And I want you to see here, because this is part of who is it that really abides? Who can actually abide the day of his coming? Because this day that we're in is a day of gloominess and darkness and terror and pit and snare, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And who abides in that? And we can all, in the safety of this room, in the safety of America, say, oh yeah, you know, I'm just fine. But there is coming a time, a day, when the fire of this world is going to impinge on our lives. And so I think we should make sure that we're as ready as we can be. And this is a great example right here in Daniel chapter 3. And I'm going to start, where am I starting? Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spoke and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto him, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wow. Now, the songs that were chosen, the words in the songs that were chosen, you know, to desire the presence of God. You know, we come in here and we are encouraged to go in that direction. And when we leave here and go out into the world, and we have the rest of the week where we're separated from one another, lots of times, most of the time, we find that it doesn't quite seem the same. Don't you have to fight more?
Yes.
It's really pretty nice coming in here and worshiping God, and hearing the words and reading the words and singing the words of the song, because we can be caught right up into it. to desire to be in His presence. And I know every single person in here desires to be in the presence of God. And it's a wonderful feeling. You can close your eyes right now and be in God's presence, can't you? And, you know, actually it's a matter of faith, isn't it? You know that you can, with your spirit, touch the Spirit of God. Can you do that right now? And when that's happening, isn't there thankfulness in your heart? Don't you feel love in your heart? Because how are we going to get through all of the crazy things that you see on TV and you know are happening in the world and are starting to impinge on your life in financial ways and in other ways? How are we going to get through that? Well, you know, we can. That's what's so wonderful. How did those guys feel? There they go, right into the midst of the fiery furnace. I wonder if they were, as they dropped into that furnace. Or were they somebody different? Were they so connected with God? And I get the impression they were. Because they said, it doesn't matter if God saves us or not, we're His. Or we belong to Him. If He kills us, He kills us. And, you know, if you kill us, you kill us. But God could stop it if He wants to. And whatever He wants to do, that's fine with us. What kind of attitude is that? I don't think they were fearful. I don't. There was just whatever God wants. What a fantastic... Do you think that has to be inside of God's people here at this time, at the end of the age? The quality of a disciple of Christ has to be that much. Has to be. If you're going to have peace, if you're going to be able to exhibit the love of Christ to a dark world, we have to be that. And you know, we have to ask for that, don't we? Don't you? Yes. And I need to say, God, I don't think I measure up here. I need You to give me the grace, the ability to be that kind of person. And take it in and say, that's for me, God. That's the kind of person I want to be. And accept it by faith. And you know what keeps it there? When you actually, the more that you get in His presence, you know, not just here on Sunday, the more you are in His presence, where you take the time and I take the time to get away from this life and be with Jesus. You want to say something?
I look at these days as refining.
Yes, it is.
Refining fire so that we can stand faithful in the last days. So to have that perfect faith in Jesus and God.
Yes.
To get us through it, not our strength, but...
But the Lord, it's the Lord's grace.
It's a day of faith, yeah. Of refining.
Yes.
We need to look to Jesus more and more.
Yeah.
All the time, and trust.
Yeah. In myself, in my own mind, I'm afraid to talk about this because I'm afraid of what God has to now test me in. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's kind of a catch-22 almost. But we have to be those kind of people, don't we?
Yes.
To be able to embrace whatever God has for the sake of knowing Him better. Yeah, how about that? Cuddly, are you feeling cuddly? I want you to turn to Psalm 39, verse 3. Psalm 39. You know, that last song, or close to the last song, maybe it was the last song, the one with Jesus, by Jesus Culture, about presence. Yeah, that was the last one. And, you know, it really brought up in me this desire. Right? It talks about desiring His presence.
Yes.
And though we might have an intellectual agreement with that, there seems to be in me, I see, and so I'm assuming in you, the need to break out of it being just an intellectual understanding of wanting something more. Yeah?
Yes.
Look what it says here. In Psalm 39, verse 3, it says, "My heart was hot within me." Hot. There we go again. Burning. Your heart is burning. When you're singing some of these songs, is your heart burning sometimes? Don't you feel that? That you feel that, just that burning desire for the Lord and thankfulness and gratitude and everything else that's wrapped up with that, you know? And it says, "My heart was hot within me." And when does this happen? "While I was musing, the fire burned." Now,
let's see how they have it here. You have it the same way.
Everybody know what musing means?
Meditating.
Thinking deeply on. You know what's wrong with Americans? Everything has to happen fast. We want to feel His presence fast, as Christians. We have things to do, so we get into, I'm praying, now I'm going to do this over here. And we just are moving from one thing to another, and things there's this urgency to get to the next thing. That can happen in services. You know? Okay, we're doing the worship, now we've got to get to this next part of the service. Almost.
Sometimes you're so caught up in what you need to do after what you're doing something. You're so caught up in what you have to do after what you're doing. You don't even enjoy what you're doing.
You're not enjoying what you're doing.
You're just like already fretting about the next thing you have to do. Or,
yes.
Or, you know, like you're not fully, even if it's something you're enjoying, you're not fully enjoying it because you're thinking of, oh, well, after this, okay, oh, now I got to go home and do laundry. Oh, gee. So you're not enjoying the time that you're
right.
You know, that God gives you for certain things.
Absolutely.
If you're reading your Bible in the morning and you're thinking about your day, you're missing what you're reading.
That's right.
You can't even grasp what you're reading.
Right.
That's happened many times.
Yes.
Like, you got to stop.
I just find that this whole thing, the meditation, I think is one of the things that's key for especially American Christians. We have really got to slow our life down. We need to be a light to the world. We're living in all this time of stress. We need to be able to not only abide who can abide at the time of his coming. But we need to be more than that. We have to be examples and sources of strength for the other people that are going to be around us. Because it isn't just about you and me, is it? It's about the lost. It's about people that are Christians that don't have a deeper relationship with God. We have to be that to everyone. We have to be that way to one another, don't we? I think this is really important. If we're going to, who's going to abide the day of his coming? Well, we better be people that desire, that are hot for wanting that deeper relationship with God. And not just up here. We need to stop ourselves and take the time to spend with God. Is there a problem with that?
No.
You know, I think, I don't know, maybe for me or for others, I'll take some time to pray to the Lord and read the Word. And lots of times, I'm expecting to get some kind of very quick response from God. Here I am, taking time out of my day to spend time with you, God. You can at least show up when I want you to. You know I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, right? But we almost have that kind of attitude. You know. It's got to happen. Hey, look, I got 10 minutes here where I can spend with you, God. So you need to show up when I want you to show up, right? And then when that doesn't happen, you go, well, maybe not you, but it might be the enemy, that goes, you see, you spent time and you didn't get anything out of it. So why even bother? Don't even bother. You're not gonna hear from him anyway. Do you get those thoughts? Do you ever get that? Sometimes. Yeah, I mean, not all the time, but you get that. The enemy's looking to thwart us from developing that hot, hot relationship. It's funny that it's Valentine's Day and we're talking about hot relationships. But that's what God wants, doesn't he? He wants passion out of us. Man and wife should have passion, right?
I know we're an older congregation, but all right. My heart was hot within me while I meditated. The fire burned, and then it says, and then I spoke with my tongue, and it goes on and says some things. I'm going to go back to Malachi, and Malachi chapter 4. Which I said we were going to come back to.
Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "For behold, the day comes that shall burn like an oven, and all of the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, will be stubble." What's stubble? Yeah, burnt up ashes. The stubble. Okay? "And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch." Man. Those who do wickedly, those who are proud. "But unto you that fear my name." Oh, how about that? There's a big difference going on. We're sliding in one direction or another. And we need to realize this. You know, it talks about the Christians. It says that you know, the fire is going to burn up our works. And if it's good, it's going to remain. If it doesn't, we're going to get burned up. Yeah. We're going to get all turned around. We're still saved, it says. But so is by fire. We're saved. But there's going to be lots of Christians who don't choose to understand, aren't seeking God with all of their heart, they're going to have lots of burning. Christians, too, are going to have lots of burning things happening. We're going to be burned one way or the other. Let's hope and pray that we allow the burning to make the changes that need to be changed. Yeah? Oh, sorry. Was that you?
That's your phone.
Oh, that's the phone.
I'm trying to do two things at once. There's a song by Cindy Lee that was just what you said, so I was trying to look it up on my phone quick and...
Oh, okay.
So I can't multitask.
All right, we'll see if you can find it. Maybe that might be good. So,
I want to say that I take notes in my Bible. I write in the margins, and in December 30, 2012, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2 years ago. You said the fire is getting turned up.
Oh, I did.
You did. I wrote it. Well,
yeah, it's certainly been turned up in the last couple of years. Yeah, that's for sure. And so here's who's going to abide? It's going to be people that fear his name. They reverence God. He isn't just some casual acquaintance, right? And I think there's lots of Christians that have a casual acquaintance with God. Right? We can have a casual acquaintance days on end sometimes. I'm just saying. Let's get the picture here. Who is going to abide the day of his coming? Just because we're saved? We're going to be able to abide the day of his coming? All the things that are happening in this life, we're just going to make it through because Jesus is going to get us through? No, it's going to be people who fear his name. It's going to be people that seek after knowing his presence and wanting to love him more, to understand him more, to have a deeper relationship with him more. That's who is going to abide the day of his coming. There will be Christians that aren't going to be able to abide the day of his coming. Do you get that? They're going to get burned up. They're still saved. They're going to be saved. Because they've accepted Christ in their life. But they haven't gone too far with that relationship. Well, if you don't fear his name, if you don't reverence the fact that God has his will for your life and he has certain matters of conduct that he looks for us to have, and we just casually just go our way, well, we're going to have some burning. You right? And then
it amazes me how the Old Testament, they use like fire and refining gold and refining silver, you know?
Yes.
And it has to be done to get pure gold or pure silver.
Yes.
And then later it said, you know, like Christ is the one that refines. He's the fire.
He's the refining fire.
Yeah.
He's the one that's doing it, and it's done for our good. We turn out better. We turn out to be the pure silver, the pure gold. Jesus says, buy from me gold tried in the fire. Right? In the book of Revelation, he says that. This is part of what we have to embrace. Not be afraid of, but to embrace this. And that's who's going to abide the day of his coming. It's a fearful thing outside the Spirit of God, outside of saying, oh, wow, I'm going to get all that dross out of me. I'm going to be a new creature in Christ. Yeah, huh? Amen. I'm going to be somebody that God wants me to be. That's a great thing, yeah. Isn't it?
Malcolm, there's a problem with our society is in the way that the gospel is being taught is that there is no fear of the Lord, right. You know, because a lot of times we're always saying all the good things, like, you know, how much he loves us and how much grace there is, and it's true. I mean,
it's all true. Yeah.
It's all beautiful, but nobody wants to preach the fear of the Lord. You know, that there's a reverence there that we're supposed to be having for him, and there should be a fear, because if he doesn't bless you, if he doesn't protect you, then you got to go through all that other stuff that we don't want to go through. Yeah. But in our culture, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You can't say that stuff. You don't want to, because you know you might scare somebody, or they may have a you don't want them to be scared of God and stuff like that. But if it's taught the right way,
yeah,
that's not an issue.
Absolutely. You know, this whole thing about the burning. If you have a lot of wood, hay, and stubble in your life, that means wrong choices. I guess you could sum it up that way. All the bad choices, the wrong choices. God needs to deal with you, and there's a burning that goes there. God has other things that are deeper that he burns in us and gets out of us that deal with us being who we're supposed to be in Christ, the direction of our life, and he has to do things in our life. I would rather just have him deal with that than all the bad things that he has to burn out of me too. You get it?
Yeah.
There's a little less burning. I've noticed that in life. That, I mean, people have said, geez, you've had a really blessed life. You haven't gone through all this crap that I've gone through. And I said, yeah, I know, I don't understand. But when I think about it, you know, after they told me what their life was like and some of the choices they made, of course they went through some, you know. You make good choices, you have less fire. You're still going to have fire. It isn't like you're not going to get, that God doesn't have to deal with you because we're human. But there's less fire. You know? The choices that you make can add to the fire. Right? You make some good choices, you have less pile on the fire.
Okay. I think we'll go to one more thing here, and that is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 this time. Hebrews chapter 10. Who is it that
may abide his coming, be able to make it through all of this stuff? Well, you know, Daniel was the first one. Where just this closeness with Jesus, that person is going to make it through. That's the most important one, isn't it? And learning how to love our way through that and get to know him better, and it isn't just some kind of a, I better do this kind of attitude, you know? The
reverencing his name, meditate, taking time, slowing our life down to think about things. You know, last week, and we were talking about days of stress or time of stress, we were saying how we have to have metacognition. We have to think about what we're thinking. Because our thinking might not be doing too well. And we need to get our mind right, boss. You know? Right? Reverencing his name. And now, this is the last one that I put on the list that I felt the Lord wanted me to bring up today. And that is in Hebrews chapter 10. It says...
Verse what?
I didn't say yet.
Okay.
Verse 23. Okay, verse 23. I'm going to read 23, 24, and 25. Okay, it says this. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Isn't that great? And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I have a wood stove at home, and I love watching the fire burn. And one thing that I've noticed, and we use this example a lot, but you know, when you see it day after day, it kind of impresses itself on you. When a coal drops off the grate and falls away from the rest of the coals, what happens to that coal? Yeah, it's not so hot for God anymore, is it? It's not. It cools off and eventually goes out. Right? It is important if you want to abide unto the day of his coming, that you forsake not the assembling together. And that, we're not just talking about a Sunday. We're talking about, calling people up and praying with one another, just having good fellowship in other contexts besides the Sunday. The more that you're engaged with fellow believers, what a difference that makes. And I know you all know this, don't you? Get with the right kind of people.
Like-minded people.
Yeah. That's going to make a difference for you and I. That we don't forsake. I don't feel like going to church today, or I could very easily become a hermit. Yeah, I could. Because and Kathy too, we like that alone time. You know? And Kathy likes her alone time for me. I told you, she gets up in the morning. She does not want me getting up at the same time she does. She needs her alone time.
Yes.
You know? And so I'm not saying that we don't need our alone time, because we do. But we don't want to forsake us being together and being encouraged to love and good deeds. You know? This is important. Other kinds of things where groups get groups of believers get together, the women's different things that the women have gone to, and we have the men's group, and there's a marriage thing today that I think will be a great time together. It's great not to forsake the assembling yourselves together, and those people stand a much better chance to abide, to be there. To be faithful to God all the way through, so that they don't have to have areas of their life burned up that don't need to be. Yes.
That's good, but you can also get caught up in your little cliques and not be out there and meeting with people who don't know the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You can get caught up and not share the gospel outside of the little group. So,
you know, I,
you mean, if you know what I mean.
I know. You're not being critical. That's an important point. I want to make sure that we all understand this. If we are encouraging one another to love and good deeds, if we are really making connection with God, don't you believe that God is going to have you be that vessel that is reaching out? That love of God, being in His presence, puts love in your heart. And that love's going to come out, and it's going to come out in such a way that you're going to be reaching out for other people. This is what's important about all of these points I'm making, is that it's not some kind of formula. You getting this? It's not a formula, and only these things are important. This is what God wanted me to bring up today for you to be aware of, for you to pray about, for you to cry out to God to make it more a part of who you are as a Christian. That's what I'm going to be doing, you know. I'm crying out because I see my lack. We see our lack, we cry out to God. God will be faithful to give us what we need. Give us the grace that we need to be able to accomplish all of this and to make it and stand before the Son of Man. And hopefully He's going to say to every single person here, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Whitney, you have your hand back if you want to say something.
Yeah, after going over this verse, I have a little note in my Bible. It gives me little notes, which are really helpful. And for the verse, I want to read this Bible note because I think it's really good. It says, to neglect Christian meetings is to give up the encouragement and the help of other Christians. We gather together to share our faith and to strengthen one another in the Lord. As we get closer to the day when Christ will return, we will face many fearful struggles and even times of persecution. Anti-Christian forces will grow in strength. Difficulties should never be excuses for missing church services. Rather, as difficulties arise, we should make an even greater effort to be faithful in attendance. And I think it's important because when people are having a hard time, it's important for us to have these meetings or give people phone calls or show up at their house and pray with them. And because they need it, we need to be that support group for people that really yes. need it, whether they're Christians or not Christians. People need that encouragement. We need to share the love of God. We need to be able to be there for them and do so.
There'll be that energy, that God's energy level will be with us.
Yeah.
It'll be flowing right through us if we are having this all part of, you know, what we're doing.
That's what I'm saying. What Steve was going on is if the more you get together and the more the fire burns, it gets stronger, right?
Yes.
It gets like intensity, right?
Yeah.
It can get so big that it will overflow and then you'll catch other things on fire. So as long as you get together, you're just going to catch other people on fire the more you get together. So it's not that you're isolating yourself. It's just that you're getting together and then you're going out and you're catching everything else on fire.
Right. This isn't to the exclusion of the lost. And if you were hearing what I was saying through the message, this is for the lost.
Right.
You get it? What's happening is so that we are a light to the dark world. Which means we do have to reach out to them. But we need each other to help us along, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. No. Praise the Lord.
I can find it.
Yeah,
I just don't know how to get on
YouTube. Yeah, I'll do it. You can pray on it if you want.
Oh, okay.
Can I just
go ahead.
That women's meeting we went to at retreat, we talked about ministry to be overflowing in your heart.
Yeah.
That when we get together, fire. It's filling us up so that we can give out more.
Yeah, amen. Church on fire, right?
Yeah.
Church on fire. All right. Yep. I like that we sang that song, Lord, You Are More Precious Than Silver. And Lord, You Are more costly than gold. Lord, You Are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire... compares to you. And in lots of ways, it's a true statement in our hearts, in our spirits, and we want that to live out even more in our lives.
What do we got in it? Big Daddy Weave.
Yeah, that's good. You haven't heard him yet?
I probably have. I just.
Heard a song by him.
Yeah.
Think about it, Malcolm.
Big Daddy weaves everybody in.
Our lives
matter together. Dan copied us. Weave for me.
Yeah.
What's the name of the song?
Jesus.
Is that the new Galaxy Note 4?
Smooth intro, man. And yes, it is the 5.7.
Oh God.